We turn now to the Word of God for our instruction to the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 5, and I read from the verse 1 through to the verse 20. Young people, this is the Word of God. Come, let us hear God's holy Word. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. This is the Word of God. May the Lord grant his own blessing to that public reading of his Word this evening. May he grant that ability to preach his Word, the enabling. May he do so to the glory of his name and to the good of our never-dying soul. Young people, please turn in your Bibles this evening now to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 5, those verses which I read to you in your hearing from the verse 1 through to the verse 20. The Lord enabling me this evening, I first of all, by way of introduction, want to draw your attention to the 15th verse, verse 15. What is the great thing that the Lord Jesus did? What did he do in this man's life? We read, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man had an evil spirit, we're told. He was living amongst the caves, and the Lord healed him in that sense of casting out legion, that spirit, into the swine, and he was made whole. We have the diary of a man, how he was living before he met the Lord Jesus, what he was doing on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and how he lived afterwards. We have the diary of somebody that was possessed by an evil spirit. You might say to me, well, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with me as a young person? Well, as you know, the Bible tells us that we are by nature enemies of God, that we are children of wrath, that we walk after the prince of the power of the air, that we are not by nature friends of God. This man, no doubt, had family members. He lived in this region of Decapolis, which means the 10 cities, and he went back home and he spoke to others. The Lord Jesus Christ sent him back to say what good things the Lord had done in his life. And there may well have been other people that thought, well, I wasn't as bad as this young man. But everybody has a wicked heart. Everybody needs saving. We come into this world with hard, wicked hearts. Our hearts are not as bad as they could be. This man obviously fell headlong into something very awful. So bad that it led him to this place by Gadara, by the sea coast, that eastern border of the Sea of Galilee, and he lived amongst tombs. You've perhaps heard of young people getting involved in the occult and all kinds of wickedness. And young people, the Bible says we are to avoid these things, to have nothing to do with the hidden works of darkness. But I say, don't think that all is well with your soul because you're not engaged in those things. As I said earlier, before we are saved, we are enemies of God. We need the forgiveness of our sins, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Only He can heal us. And what we see here in this man's life on this day is absolutely extraordinary. Many people tried to change this man. We read how he was bound with fetters and chains. But so strong was that demonic activity in his body that there was nothing people could do humanly possible. It was utterly impossible to subdue that power that was within him. And it's the same way with sin. It's an illustration. It's a very powerful illustration of what is true about us. Nobody can subdue sin but God. You know, only the Lord Jesus Christ can change hearts. Just like He changed this young man's heart. Not only did He cast out these demons, but we read here, he was clothed, sat down in his right mind. And the people were afraid. They were afraid of him before because of what he was. Too afraid to come near him. He was a nightmare to look at. But now they were afraid because of what has happened to him. I wonder if you've been somebody that has witnessed a Christian changed. Has it made you afraid? You see somebody's different. They're not the person they were. Well, it ought to, because it's the work of God. And it's that work that you need in your own soul. And it is only the Lord Jesus Christ that can do this work of giving somebody a new heart, a new mind, forgiving them of their sins, and giving them peace in their life. Now, as we come to this passage, we know that on a number of occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ went to great lengths to meet certain sinners. He went to a great length to meet this man on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. If you have a look in the chapter 4 there, you notice at the end of the chapter 4, we have the occasion where he instructs the disciples to get into this little ship, this little boat. The verse 35, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is from heaven, showing that he has power over the wind and the waves. He is the Creator God. By Him all things were made. And He calmed the sea. He who could calm the sea could calm this demon-possessed man that nobody could calm. And He has come a long way. He has crossed to meet this man. And he takes great lengths to save every one of his lost sheep. He is the good shepherd that has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He doesn't save everybody, but he comes after his sheep, and he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And the Lord Jesus Christ came to save this man. This was one such occasion where the Lord Jesus Christ goes to great lengths to meet and to save his lost sheep. And so it was a great day. And it reminds us that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And this very next event, not only calming the sea, but doing this in this man's life, shows that he is God. This man who couldn't have lived a life any more alienated from God, Jesus Christ saved him. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel so alienated, so far from God. You've been taught the truth in your home, or perhaps you've heard the word of God so many times and you think, "The Lord will never save me. He cannot save me. I've been involved in such wicked things. You wouldn't know in my life." Well, I say, the Lord saves all of his people. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so this night we want to see this man's life before, and then his life on the day that the Lord met him, and what his life was like after that. And there will be instruction both for those that are unsaved and those who are saved here tonight. So let's consider first of all this man's life before. We notice in the verse 1 here how he was in great bondage to sin and darkness. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea," that's the Sea of Galilee, "into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." We read here that he had an unclean spirit. Now, it is true to say that in one sense we come into this world with unclean hearts, and we don't have a spirit that is born again. Our souls are dead in trespasses and sins, but here he has something that is completely alien to him. He has some sort of demonic activity. We don't understand it, wouldn't try to pretend to understand it. But in these days of the Lord Jesus Christ, there has been an unprecedented movement of demonic activity. And I think one of the reasons for that is this: the devil knows his time is short. You can read the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. You will not find so much demonic activity as you do as in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the explanation for that is this. In Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 15, God spoke to Satan and said to him that the seed of the woman, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, would come and he would bruise his head. He would crush his head. Satan has already had dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has tempted him 40 days in the wilderness. Satan has already been observing him, his activities, his minions. A third of the angels, we read in the book of Jude, have fallen, each one individually. And Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, knows that his time is short. And they even recognize, you notice in this chapter, they even recognize the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes, when that little boat comes on the sea line, on the shoreline, as it docks in to this place in the country of the Gadarenes. There was a little city of Gadara not so far away, and these tombs on this eastern shoreline where this man was living. And immediately these demons within this man recognize something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God the Son. They recognize that. We've read that in these verses. He had this unclean spirit. And because of this unclean spirit, He could not be tamed. He had an unhealthy preoccupation with death. He spent his time amongst bones. This man was not only like all of us, as we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, but somehow we don't know if it was his own fault, whether he was meddling with things, but he went headlong into this, and now he has this unclean spirit. And it is a warning. It's a solemn warning to stay away from these things and to seek God, even if you do not have an unclean spirit. I say you have an unsaved soul, and you have sins that you need forgiving, being forgiven by God. And the wages of sin is death, says the Bible. The wages of sin is death. But here he is cutting himself. We read, notice the verse 5, and always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying. You can imagine him shouting, screaming, in agony, and it says, cutting himself with stones. We read today of young people that self-harm. It's an awful thing when we hear it. But here is this young man. He is made in the image of God, created by God. But he takes a stone to his skin and he cuts himself open day and night. You can imagine him bleeding, walking round with putrefying sores, crying out. He's in agony of body and an agony of soul. It's a terrible thing. Here he is made in the image of God. But this is what sin does, a real picture. What does sin do? Sin mars us. You may not be walking around cutting yourself with stones, but what does sin do? It mars us. It defaces us. When you go and you sin, it makes you less of a person. It makes you less noble. It makes you less of a person. It makes you less honorable. Think about it. When you lie, when you tell a lie, does it make you more honorable? When you are unkind, does it make you any nicer as a person? No, it disfigures you. And this is what he's doing. He's doing it in a physical sense. And he's not happy in it. What a miserable existence. I want to firstly think for a moment. Notice in the verse 20, he goes home to this place, this region called Decapolis, and it says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The Lord Jesus sent him home. This place of Decapolis was a very spiritually dark and gloomy area. He came from that region. It was a region that was occupied by Roman soldiers for over 100 years now. You had a mixture of Sumerians here, some Greeks. It was not the land of the Jews. And the Romans who lived here, we have historical reports, were Roman soldiers, and they lived and ate pork scratchings. We read how there were over 2,000 pigs here. They ran the towns in the Decapolis area, and the people feared them. It was a place where even the local politicians feared the Romans that were there, who were occupying the area. The tax collectors, everything was corrupt. Prostitution was rife. It was a very seedy, spiritually dark area. So can you understand he's come from that background? We don't know a whole lot about him, but we know he's ended up here on the seashore not so far away, this place of the Gadarenes. It's not good. He's come from a place that is not Jewish territory. And as I said, this would explain, as I said, the Romans here that were training, they trained the Roman soldiers. It was a great training ground for them. They lived on the pork scratchings and fish from the sea, and they were a wild bunch of men. It was not a godly place. There wasn't a Sabbath rest there. There were no synagogues. The Word of God was not preached. It was a dark land. It was an area that was pretty much run down, a depraved place. And we can almost understand how this young man is steeped in wickedness and darkness. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he meets him. Now, it was not a place for a Jew to be. Pigs were unclean. We read how there were over 2,000 pigs here, that the spirits were cast into, and they jumped, as it were, like lemmings into the sea to their own death. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He who has come from heaven, He who is the Lord of glory, He who has never sinned, left His own hometown, left, crossed the sea to come to this dirty, filthy place. And to a place of all places where a man is living amongst dead bones every day. And He's come to seek him and He's come to save him. This is the mercy of God. This is the kindness. Do you see the inference? There's nobody too dirty for the Lord to save. There's nobody that He's not willing to save. He's willing to save all of His people. And they come from all different backgrounds. Now, He won't save everybody. He'll save His people. And He saves them from all quarters. Now, notice the knowledge that the demons have of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the verse 2 and the verse 6 and 7, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit," the verse 2, and then the verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not." Now we read later in the verse 15, that verse that I read at the outset, that he was clothed. And the implication, therefore, is that before he was not clothed. He was naked, he was filthy, he was dirty. Living among the tombs, living in this evil way. What a state he was in. Living in burial grounds. Now, a graveyard to a Jew was considered a place of contamination. You just didn't go there. And one wonders how the disciples, how Peter, James and John must have felt when the little boat pulled up to meet this man. And we read, he cried, when he saw Jesus afar off, the verse 6, he ran and worshipped him. Perhaps he fell down. The word there, worship, can also mean he fell down on his knees, face to the ground, and he worshipped the Lord Jesus. This is very strange, isn't it? On the one hand, there's this demonic activity going on in him. On the other hand, he worships him. We can't explain this. I wouldn't try to say that I have the answer. But I would say this. Here is somebody, although all this is going on in him, here is somebody that recognizes the Lord Jesus. You notice how he recognizes Son of the Most High God. And that is exactly who the Lord Jesus is. What a state he was in. And we can imagine the 12 disciples, maybe them saying, "Let's go back. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be amongst this man. He's too unclean." But the Lord doesn't turn away, does he? And there's a word for you tonight. If you feel so unclean, the Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. He says, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ not only would die for sinners, but here he shows how by his power he changes the sinner. That's one of the great lessons of this passage. He deals with the problem of our hearts. The man didn't ask for this. But the demons inside are crying out, "What wouldst thou have to do with us, Son of the Most High God?" And then they ask, you notice, "Don't send us away, but cast us into the swine." They asked that. And the Lord Jesus has to give permission for that. We read how he consented to that. The Lord Jesus has power over all things. Not only over our hearts, but over even evil spirits. He is able to do that. able to do all things. It seems like this young man has reached the depths of sin. We couldn't imagine any worse, could we? The Lord Jesus deals with him. Read how he was in chains often. Why? Because new chains, different chains every week. Nothing could hold him. Nothing could bind him. You see, God deals with this with sinners. The fact that he has these fetters and chains symbolized his personal enslavement to sin, that they had to bind him from harming himself and others. And that's what sin does. Sin harms you, and it harms other people. I've explained how sin defaces us, it deforms us, it makes us less of a person. We're made in the image of God, but sin, it mocks us. It ridicules us. It makes us ashamed of ourselves. How ashamed his family must have been of him. We'll go and see our son this week. No, we're not going to go there. That's what sin does. And often when sinners are saved, they're so ashamed of what they used to be. They're thankful that the Lord has saved them out of that. Now you notice he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That name implies that he was possessed by many, many demons. Now a legion was a vast number. It meant over 6,000 foot soldiers as well as 120 horsemen. That was a legion. Military might. And here he is with all these demons. "My name is Legion, for we are many," he says. Satan is so powerful and sin is so self-destructive. But the Lord is able, young people, to deal with whatever you have in your life if you are lost and you feel there's nothing. Nobody can ever change your heart. You feel that your heart and your personality is so hard that nobody can change it. Well, I say to you, God can change it. He can change anybody's heart. If he could change Legion's heart, can he not change yours? He can. If he is willing. The sinner must come. You see how the Lord Jesus Christ comes and the sinner comes and falls and he worships him. And this is a picture really of repentance, turning. Yes, he is there. The demons are still in him. And the Lord Jesus Christ deals with all that is in that man. And that's what you've got to trust. That the Lord Jesus is able to deal with whatever big thing, whatever problem is there in you, preventing you from being a child of God. Jesus Christ is able to deal with that. Think of how unhappy he must have been. So unsettled. Well, that was his life. But the Lord Jesus Christ secondly meets him on that day. Just as there was that calm sea now, as the Lord Jesus calmed that sea. Well, he says, he got run up to him. You can imagine, here's the case. This wild man comes running up from the beach. And our Lord Jesus, he doesn't run away. He comes up shouting, notice the verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" He cried with a loud voice. Now, no doubt this young man was used to cry. We're told he cried out, verse 5, day and night. His vocal box was very strong. And he came right up to the Lord Jesus Christ and literally almost shouted. But that didn't make the Lord Jesus Christ afraid, did it? Didn't stop him. The Lord Jesus didn't run away. The Lord Jesus now deals with him in mercy. And this is what we've got to realize. It's God's mercy as we come to him. that he forgives us, that he pardons us. David in the Psalm 18, the verse 17 says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. And Satan is too strong, and the forces of evil are too strong for you. And the Lord delivers this man. He comes straight to the Lord. And the Lord sends, you notice the verse 9 and the verse 10, these evil spirits into the swine. There he is, Jesus the Son of God. And he does this miraculous, this powerful work. And he besought him such that he would not send them away out of the country. Now was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Why there? Why into the swine? Well, it's better than hell, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is able to cast them anywhere. And so they go into the swine, and the swine go straight into the sea and fall to their own destruction. This was the day that the Lord Jesus dealt with this man's great problem. And we don't know how the Lord will deal with our problems, but we know he'll deal with them. Whatever way he sees fit. They besought him. Far better off, they were cast. Now, some people have a problem with this. Why? Certainly the herdsmen here. You've killed all our pigs. Leave the area. They cared more about pigs than they did about this poor man that had lived his life in absolute torment. People are like this in this world. They don't care about people's souls. They care more about animals and rights of trees than a never dying soul. These pigs would have been eaten anyway. The Lord in his mercy, he casts these things out of the man. What a lesson we learn. And then we see he's clothed in his right mind on this day. And when they came to Jesus and see him, that was possessed with a devil, and the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here is this man sitting. There are three things we see here. Sitting. He's calmly composed. Before, he was running up and down from place to place. And when the Lord saves you, he settles your heart and mind in this world. You know, the Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea that have no rest. But when God saves us, he gives us peace of mind. He gives us a settled heart. That's one of the things he does. When he saves you, he gives you a new mind so that you can sit and you can think rationally. How sin doesn't make us rational in our lives. Sin confuses us. We're never happy. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, the first thing he does is he clothes our mind with understanding, and he gives us peace in our hearts. But also, notice, and clothed. That means that before he was not. He's got a sense of dignity about him now. Where did the clothes come from? Well, we don't know. But we know the Lord provides. Wherever they came from. And then in his right mind, he could praise the Son of God. What a change in his life. And he wanted, notice the verse 18, he wanted to be with the Lord Jesus now. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This is after the Lord has saved him now. He wants to be with the Lord. And this is true for anybody that is saved. If you are saved, you want to read God's word. And you want to spend time with the Lord Jesus. You want to get to know him, who has had mercy on you, who has changed you, who's turned your life around. And he gives us his word. And his word tells us all about the Lord Jesus. And we want to be like him. Has the Lord saved you? One of the ways you know he's saved you is you want to read his word. You don't want to live the old life that you had in this world. He's not gone back to the tombs. When he goes back to the Decapolis area, what does he do there? He goes and tells everybody what the Lord has done for him. That's his life afterwards. Now you say that you're saved. You say that you're a Christian. Have you told others what the Lord has done for you? The Lord Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." The Lord Jesus set him free from these tombs and from this crazy life of sin and madness to serve him and to tell others all about the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord did not just save him from these things here, but from all sin. And that's what the Lord does for us when he saves us. He saves us from our past sin and lifts us out of a life of sinfulness. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you think of this man here, Legion, how he was lacerated. In order to save Legion, the Lord Jesus Christ himself would have to be lacerated. The Lord Jesus Christ himself would have to go and bear an unspeakable agony to save his people. He would have to go to the cross at Calvary and be whipped and scourged and pierced and impaled upon a cross. He would have to endure so much. He was bearing all of Legion's sins there on the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus didn't just pick him up out of that lifestyle, but somebody had to pay for Legion's sins. You see, because, young people, God is a holy God, a God of wrath, and he must punish sin. And the Lord Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And you think what he's done? He's not only crossed this sea to go and find this man and to cast out these demons from him, to tell him that he is the Savior, to show him that he is the Savior, but that he would have to die. And he bore that punishment. And so this is how Legion is saved. Not only from a life of sin, but the consequence of his sin, which is everlasting punishment. God's wrath, all of that was removed from Legion. Well, what a life. What a change of life. But you know, the Lord does this in every Christian's life. There's a sense in which we're not as bad as Legion, outwardly. But before we're saved, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Our souls, as it were, are dead in trespasses and sins. We are not living unto God. We're more interested in the things that are passing away. We don't care about God. We don't care about our sins. And we just go headlong into sin until that last day that we drop dead, and then we drop dead into an everlasting hell. But the Lord Jesus saves his people. He saves them. He saves them out of a life of sin. And he changes them. There's so many people that say they're Christians, but they're not changed. When he went back to Decapolis, the people marveled. The verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." You know, the proof of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him was not so much in what he said, but that he was actually a different person. Totally different. And when you're a Christian, you are totally different to what you were. He didn't hang out the old places he used to hang out. People were afraid of him before. Nobody would come near him. But now he tells them about the Savior. Tells people about what things the Lord Jesus had done. That's the Christian life. It's about witnessing. Do you witness for the Lord Jesus? Has he changed you? Do you realize you were once on the road to destruction, but the Lord has saved you? Dear young people, we do not come into this world as friends with God. We come into this world as enemies of God. And only the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles us to God. By himself, by his death, and by his life. The Lord Jesus never said to him, "Go and earn some merits before God that you may be saved." But he just said, "Go and tell what things has done for you." What has the Lord Jesus done for you? Has he died for your sins? Has he shed his blood for you? Have you believed on him? Is your life turned around? Are you a new person? That's how you know where the Lord has saved you. Has the Lord saved you? See how he fell, how he worshipped the Lord. That's where you begin. You fall down and you thank him that he is utterly different to you and I. That he is sinless. And you believe on him and he sets sinners free. And no matter how big of a problem you have of sin, he can change your heart. He does change hearts. He changed Legion's heart. And you cry out to him tonight. Go to him with full biblical repentance. And that is not just to be sorry for your sins, but you start obeying him. And you start worshiping him. Ask him to save you. Ask him for forgiveness. Forgiveness. He is merciful. And he doesn't cast away anybody that comes to him in truth. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this account where thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did that great work in that man's life. We know, Lord, there is nothing too hard for him. Have mercy upon souls. We pray, Lord, for all here tonight, that there may be souls that are awakened and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance of their sins, forgiveness, faith in him. Thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he bears the sins of his people, no matter what they have done. We thank thee, Lord, for this grace wherein many of us stand this night. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us now and forever. Amen.